the extraordinary acts of love that are performed by ordinary people, the courage and strength that it takes to step out of the shadows and go beyond watching or discussing the pain and suffering that we witness every single day, and instead taking action with offers of comfort and kindness and love. This is what we are called to commemorate today in our Lenten reflection on the fifth and sixth stations of the cross. Simon of Cyrene and Veronica were, by all accounts, ordinary people on the road to Calvary on that fateful day in Jerusalem. And as they looked upon the broken, beaten, and bloodied body of our Lord lying in the dust and suffering, they stepped out of the shadows to lift his burdens and to offer him some comfort, to show him some love, even if just for a moment. Ordinary people performing extraordinary acts of Christian love. It was Saint Maximilian Kolbe, a Franciscan friar who was martyred in the Nazi death camp of Auschwitz in 1941 after he volunteered to take the place of a father who was selected to die in a starvation bunker along with nine other prisoners. And it was Father Kolbe who once said that a single act of love makes the soul return to life. A single act of love makes the soul return to life. Recently, I rewatched the movie Philadelphia. If you've not seen it, the movie stars both Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington. Tom Hanks portrays a character named Andy Beckett. Andy is a lawyer, and he claims that he was fired by his law firm and discriminated against on the basis of his diagnosis with AIDS. Throughout the movie, we all witness not just his quest to prove his claim in court, but also his fight with this dreaded disease, which ultimately claims his life. Denzel Washington also portrays a lawyer. It's a lawyer named Joe Miller. Joe's a bit of a street brawling type of lawyer. He's savvy, he's young, he's got a brash reputation and a solid litigation record. And he's the lawyer that Andy seeks to represent him in his lawsuit. In their first meeting, we witness Joe's reaction to represent Andy and his refusal to do so under the pretense that he doesn't believe the merits of his legal claim. But what we physically witness in the portrayal is how he recoils in fear when he learns that Andy has AIDS. We see how he rushes to wash his hands after Andy leaves the office, since he shook his hand when he first entered the office. Then a little later in the movie, we see Andy, sicker than he was before, sitting in a law library preparing now to represent himself. And he's being asked by the law librarian to move where he is sitting to someplace more private. He's being gawked at by others with very uncomfortable looks and downcast eyes. And there in that same library, we see Joe, unaware at first that Andy's even there or what exactly is happening. And he's literally hiding in the shadows behind a stack of books. At first, he's trying to hide, but then his eyes shift. And there's a recognition of something that he really had not seen before. Suffering. True human suffering. Not just of the illness, which now marks Andy's face and his frail body, but the human suffering that comes with neglect and a lack of compassion and love. The brokenness and pain that always comes with being seen as being less than or a burden. When people, we avert our eyes from the humanity that lies within each and every one of God's children. And we look only upon the surface, and in an effort to avoid our own pain, our own suffering, our inclination is to not step out of the shadows, but instead we recoil. We hide. We look to shuffle the person away. But in this scene, Joe Miller, this ordinary guy, he takes a step towards the extraordinary.
Sir, this is the supplement. You're right. There is a section on HIV-related discrimination.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
We do have a private research room available.
I'm fine right here, thank you.
Excuse me, do you know where I can find the State versus Murdoch case?
Just a moment, okay. I'll be right with you.
Thanks.
No. Would it make you more comfortable?
Oh, Becky, how you doing? Counselor.
Whatever, sir.
Excuse me.
Who'd you get?
What?
Did you find a lawyer?
I'm a lawyer. Hey, how's your baby?
Oh, yeah, she's wonderful. Great.
What's your name?
Louise.
That's a beautiful name.
Named her after my sister. Look, how'd they find out you have the AIDS?
One of the partners noticed a lesion on my forehead.
But how do you go from a lawyer spotting a lesion, which could have been anything, to the partner's deducing that you have AIDS and terminating you on the basis of that conclusion?
That's a good point. The partner who spotted the lesion, Walter Kenton, worked for Walsh, Ulmer, and Brom in D.C. A paralegal there, Melissa Benedict, she showed lesions on and off for the better part of 2-3 years. She says it was common knowledge around the office that her lesions were caused by AIDS.
But they didn't fire her?
No. They did not fire her.
See. So you got a relevant precedent?
Mm-hmm. The Arline decision.
Arline?
Supreme Court.
How many times in our lives have we sought to avoid the pain we have witnessed in the lives of others? How often do we fail to see the humanity of the other? Or do we look past their suffering and their pain for fear of ridicule or judgment from others? Do we think that Simon and Veronica could have been afraid to reach out to our Lord on his road to Calvary to touch this purported convicted criminal who was being sent to his death for fear of being seen by others as being with him? Could they not have simply stayed hidden in the shadows and let someone else deal with the pain that they were seeing? Saint Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, once said, "Holiness is not the luxury of the few, It is simply a duty for you and for me. By the time of her death, that woman's community of religious women totaled more than 4,000. They had established hospitals and hospices and care for the poorest of the poor and those suffering with illnesses, with AIDS and leprosy in nearly every country in the world. Holiness is not the luxury of the few. It is simply a duty for you and for me. My brothers and sisters, as our Lenten journey progresses and today we reflect on the extraordinary acts of love by ordinary people, let us challenge ourselves to heed this calling of Mother Teresa and the wisdom of Father Kolbe. And let's be the ones who find the strength and the courage to step out of the shadows, to see the humanity that lies within each and every one of us, and to offer to another that single act of love that will return their soul to life.